So I hate this story from Genesis. And blessings to Phil for having to read that. Now, I've always disliked it. I can't fathom how a parent would be willing to sacrifice their child for anyone or anything. But that's what we have in this story. God tells Abraham to take his son, his only son, the one he loves, and offer him up on a mountain. And Abraham, who spent his whole life talking to God and arguing with God, says nothing. In fact, he just goes right along with it. He gets up early, he saddles the donkey, he chops the wood himself, and he and Isaac leave without even giving Sarah a chance to give Isaac a hug. Then they walk for 3 days, not a single word of protest. Gah, don't you just want to grab him by the collar, maybe shake him a little bit? What is wrong with you, Abraham? And I've always heard this story with the message pointing to Abraham's great fidelity to God, that it is somehow noble, admirable even, that Abraham would kill his son because God told him to. I'm sorry, but I think that's an absolutely atrocious takeaway. Because here's what rabbis arguing about the Torah noticed long before we did. When they read the Hebrew, they saw that God says, Ha Alehu, bring him up, or lift him up, ascend, basically take him up the mountain. Not kill, not slaughter. The 11th century Jewish scholar Rashi catches this, and he argues that when the angel finally calls out, God as much says, I never told you to kill the boy. I said, bring him up. You've brought him up. Now bring him back down. Rabbi Paul Kipnis and others have said it even more plainly. Abraham misheard. He took an ambiguous command and filled it with the most terrible thing he could imagine. Sons on altars, blood for favor. He heard the command through the noise of the world that he lived in. And the noise said to kill. And he believed it was faithfulness. And that's the part that really bothers me. Abraham believed strongly that he was being good, that he was doing what God wanted. He thought obedience was the whole of love. And he was so sure that he was passing the test, that he never stopped to ask whether he even understood the question. I find it strange because this is the same man, the very same man who earlier in Genesis stood in the dust outside of Sodom and argued God to a standstill. What if there are 50 righteous people in there? What if there are 10? Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just? He haggled for the lives of strangers in a city he'd never lived in. He pushed back, and he pushed back hard. He would not let it go. So where is that Abraham on the mountain? Where is the haggling now when it's its own child on the line? He's silent. And the silence cost him everything. The aftermath of this entire event speaks for itself. According to Scripture, God never speaks to Abraham again after this. Not once. The man whose whole life was in conversation with God, after the mountain, nothing. And Isaac. The text says Abraham returned to the servants. Not they returned. Two of them walk up a mountain, and only one comes down the way they came. They never speak again. And the next time they are together, Isaac is burying him. Abraham passed the test he thought he was taking, but he failed the one he was actually given. Because maybe the test was never, will you obey? Maybe instead it was, will you argue? Will you fight for this child? Will you trust that the God of Sodom and the God that you love doesn't want him dead? And Abraham, God help him, didn't. He drew the knife. Now, this story is particularly poignant today, the 28th of June. 57 years ago tonight, a crowd of drag queens and trans women and gay kids who had just had enough fought back at discriminatory police raids at a bar in Greenwich Village called the Stonewall Inn. We should remember it, because it is the night that, unlike Abraham, people stopped walking quietly up the mountain. They looked up. They said no. And it cost them. In the way that saying no can always cost us. But they did it anyway. And I think about how many of them were already on an altar like Isaac. The Stonewall Inn catered to the most marginalized of New York's LGBTQ+ population. They were underaged and unhoused individuals, many kicked out of their own homes. They were people of color and drag performers. And how many had a parent who heard somewhere a command, God wants this. The Bible says this. This is what love requires. And then reached for the knife. Not always literally. Sometimes it could have been a locked door, and cut off tuition, an empty seat at Thanksgiving, a phone that just stops ringing. And for trans kids now, it's the appointment canceled, the care denied, the law that hands a frightened parent the knife and calls it protection. Parents who aren't monsters. Parents who think that they are being faithful. Parents who are so sure that they are passing the test that they never ask if they've understood the question. Now, there's a documentary that we just finished watching in our adult formation called 1946. A woman named Rocky Roggio made it. She is a lesbian. Her father is a pastor. And he believes, really, really believes, that his daughter's love is a sin. And the film just sits with the two of them. He won't bend. She won't disappear. And the unbearable thing is that he isn't cruel. He's almost tender at times. He heard the command, he's holding the knife, and all the while he keeps telling her it's love. And that's Abraham. That's any of us when we are so certain God wants the sacrifice that we cease listening to the voice that says, stop. Humans are very good at being sure. But without a doubt, it is the surest people who do the most damage. Because here's what's on that mountain every single time. There's a ram caught in the thicket. A way out that was always there, that doesn't cost the child, that doesn't harm relationships, that insists upon the dignity of every human being. The whole point of the story is that there is another way. And it's right there. We just have to look for it.